much, Joshua and Tabitha. That was certainly encouraging. Let's take our Bibles this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. If you were to ask me, where does this chapter rank in all of the Word of God? I believe it's in the top 10. This is an amazing chapter. I would encourage you to regularly read this chapter. It's an encouraging chapter in the Bible. With this first Sunday of November, I introduced you what I'm calling a month of Thanksgiving. And I'm encouraging you to take notes, and our ushers are making their way through the congregation. And if you did not get a copy of this morning's notes, I ask you, please get a copy, take good notes. This morning's message is immediately practical, immediately helpful and useful. And so I would ask you to take this message and allow the Lord to use it. The music this morning has been fantastic. Choir, thank you so much. You ministered to my heart. Thank you, congregation, for singing. All of those who are watching by live stream, I am so sorry that you cannot see all that has happened here this morning with our tremendous, fantastic attendance, whether it's in Spanish or mass service or here in the auditorium. Tremendous attendance. You know what you're speaking this morning? Church is essential. Church is necessary. It is part of who we are. It's part of our spiritual DNA. We need each other. How is it that a wife's husband could die in the last 24, 36 hours as she's in church this morning? You know why? Because church is her family. And she wants to be in church. How is it that perhaps you've gone through a difficult week and you could have stayed home and in bed and you could have found a reason not to come to church, but you came to church? Why? Church is important. It's essential. And I would like to preach through an entire month on this topic, Thanksgiving. By the way, you can participate. It's okay to say amen. We've said that before. It's okay to say amen. Do you realize no one's going to shock you? No one's going to shoot you. No one's going to say, get out of the church. It's okay to say amen. Why don't we try that? Amen? Amen. It's okay. And it just means so be it. I'm there. I'm with you. It's a good word to say. And so let's enjoy being in church today, as I think you already have. This year, 2020, has been wickedly difficult on so many fronts. However, there are also so many, many other areas of our life where we should express thankfulness. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for God. I like to use the three F words when it comes to thankfulness. I'm thankful for family. A couple of you. I'm thankful for family. I am thankful for friends. And I'm thankful for the fellowship. And some of you could even add, I'm thankful for my future, because if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, your future is forever settled in a place called heaven. There are some things to be thankful for this morning. So our theme is simply Thanksgiving. You know exactly where I'm going to be for the next five Sundays. Now, next Sunday's Veterans Day. What do you think I'm going to be thankful for next Sunday? I'm going to be thankful for all those veterans, all those who have served so faithfully in our country, and we'll certainly recognize them next week. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as I said, I believe it's one of the top 10 chapters in all of the Word of God. It's rich, it's encouraging, it's challenging, and I would encourage you to read that at some point in time. But we're going to look specifically at verse 18 this morning. I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to invite all of you to read it with me this morning. The Bible says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now let's read that together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you look closely at this verse, you'll notice it's really divided into three admonitions. First of all, we're to give thanks. Then it says we're to give thanks in everything. And then the last part of the verse says, this is the will of God. And so let's dig into this verse this morning and see what it means to be a person of continual gratitude. And we're only going to look at that first admonition, two words. It says this: give thanks. Now, it does not say if you had a good morning, give thanks. It does not say if you got a new outfit, give thanks. It does not say if you just finished a great meal, give thanks. It does not say if you got up and you exercise and you feel like $1 million to give thanks. There's not a condition. It says this: give thanks. And I want to challenge us this morning to give thanks. And as I break this down, what are the blessings of giving thanks? What does the Bible teach us about the blessings of giving thanks? The Greek word for give thanks is eucharisto. I don't usually use Greek that very often. Every once in a while, it makes me sound a little bit intelligent. But here's what I find. If you come from a Catholic, Episcopalian, or Lutheran background, this might remind you, this Greek word, of a word called Eucharist or communion. It's the same word. At the center of this Greek word is a little word called charis. And we know, if you've been a Bible student of any time, that word charis means grace. So quite literally, this phrase, these two words, give thanks, means this: to give grace, to give grace. And thinking of giving thanks in communion or the Lord's Supper is quite good. Communion is that act of partaking of the bread and the cup, and it's a remembrance of the Lord's sacrifice. And what we do is we're thanking Him for it. And I encourage you to make plans for on November 29th, we're going to get back to the old ways. And we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And we're not going to have those peel away things. We're going to give the Lord's Supper on November 29th. Is that okay? We're going to give thanks. A culmination of 5 Sundays of the many blessings. May I just say, we're still going to have church next Sunday no matter what happens on next Tuesday. We're still going to have church the 5th Sunday of this month no matter what happens with an election. You see, my God's still alive. It doesn't say worship the Lord dependent upon what happens in Washington, D.C. The Bible says give thanks. Give thanks. And there are blessings of giving thanks. And so we're going to remember the Lord's Supper. He is infinitely more important than anything that happens here on earth. And that is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word eucharisto, to give grace, is used many times in the New Testament. For example, remember when Jesus fed the multitude? In Matthew chapter 15, it says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks. That word means to give grace. At the Last Supper, or the First Communion, Mark 14 and verse 23 says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. In Luke 17, we find the account of Jesus healing 10 lepers, and they followed his instructions, and they went to show themselves to the priest, and they were healed. Do you remember what the Bible says there? It's really a sad story. I have leprosy. I am dying. My digits have fallen off. Perhaps my nose has fallen off. I'm white and spotted. I am dying of this dreaded disease. But in Luke 17, it says this: and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. That word turned back means he returned. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his feet. Fell down at his feet. And the Bible says, and he gave thanks. Only one. 10%. And the rest of them were dying, and they were going to give up their life, and they did not give thanks, but one did. Do you know that oftentimes that's the way it is in church? Oh, come on, preacher. You said this is going to be encouraging. I am trying to be encouraging. 10% of the people give thanks. We need to be a church that overwhelmingly gives thanks for the blessings of God in our life. In the midst of a storm at sea, the Apostle Paul, he's about to drown. He's on his way to prison. And in Acts 27, verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. In the midst of a storm, when the ship could go down. In each case, God's provision was recognized with a prayer of gratitude. And that's the basis of thanksgiving. Give thanks. We recognize that we serve a sovereign God. He's the giver of good things, and we should humbly thank Him for our many blessings. Can you think of anything you're thankful for? One or two? We're here, we're alive. Isn't that something to give thanks for? Mr. Castaneda, one of our church members, 2 weeks ago, he was out walking, had his lights. He was hit by a car. Please pray for him. He hasn't been able to return to church since he was hit by the car. The car ran over him. He has multiple injuries. His wife came. She's here this morning. She came up on the scene. Obviously panicked, and the ambulance wouldn't allow her to go to the hospital. The crazy world that we live in. He's whisked off to the hospital, not assuring how the severity of his injuries. Do you know, he talked to Pastor Howard, and you know what he told Pastor Howard? He says, I've forgiven that lady who ran over me. I'm praying that she'll get saved. I'm thankful I'm alive. I wonder how many people would be bitter and angry at God for allowing them to get hit by a car. Mr. Castaneda, a new Christian, we got to see him gloriously baptized and saved as an older man. Do you know what? He's thankful he's alive this morning and asked God to save the lady that ran over him. I think that's somebody who understands what we're talking about this morning. The giving of thanks, by the way, is the activity of heaven. In fact, we often hear preachers talk about all the things that we might do in heaven. I hear people that love to fish, and they talk about how much fishing they're going to do in heaven. I don't think that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God, but it sounds good. I mean, the Bible does say there's going to be rivers in heaven, and so maybe there are those who are planning to go out fishing for all of eternity. But may I remind you what the Bible says we're going to be doing in heaven? The Bible says continually we're going to be giving thanks. Listen to Revelation 11. It describes the scene around God's throne. And the 24 elders, those are the ones who represent believers, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces, worshiped God, and listened to what they said. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and hast reigned. Unbelievers and non-Christians are not thankful to God. They do not understand that which I'm speaking of this morning. They may say thank you when something has been done for them, but they're not thankful to God. They do not acknowledge God. Romans 1 and verse 21 describes them as, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, it says they are unthankful. So ingratitude is a characteristic of the unredeemed. But the saints of God, those are those people who are here this morning. The Bible teaches us that one, we have so many blessings that we should continually thank the Lord. Now let me share with you the belief of giving thanks. Oh, there's blessings, but let me share with you the belief of giving thanks. Gratitude rests on the foundational understanding that God is the giver of all good things. You hear me quote this verse often, James 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Let's think of some of God's blessings. In fact, we could really put all of God's blessings in three categories. Category number one is spiritual blessings. There's a whole list of these spiritual blessings found in Ephesians chapter 1. Consider just verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What are some of those spiritual blessings God has given us? May I remind you, and sometimes we say, I've been saved forever, and you forget how amazing salvation is. Do you remember the one time you were a depraved sinner? You were dead in your sin. You were alienated, separated from God. We were on a road to hell. We were helpless to do anything to save ourselves. Yet out of his great mercy, God saved us. Romans 8, verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. My friend, may I remind you, he foreknew us. He predestinated us. We've been called. He has glorified us. We've been declared holy, even though we're not deserving of that. We've been adopted, we've been accepted, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven. Hallelujah! That's what we were saved from. Never get over the wonder of salvation. Now, on top of those initial blessings, he's given us something amazing. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge to us of eternity. Oh, we're seated in the heavenlies. We have an inheritance with the saints. We have fellowship of the church. Well, secondly, consider not only are there spiritual blessings, but there are physical blessings. You're seated here. You're breathing. You may or may not like the person seated next to you, but they're breathing too. There are some physical blessings. What are some ways that God blesses us in our daily lives? We get out of bed in the morning. We have health for our bodies. We have air to breathe and food to eat and warm clothes in the wintertime and houses to live in and far more than the basic necessities. He's blessed us with many luxuries. Oh, may I remind you, go back 1 week. We showed you up here on the big screen an orphanage that has 96 children. Then we showed you their completed kitchen that has dirt floor and a tin roof. Not a one of you is going to go to a dirt floor and a tin roof to eat your lunch today. But there's 96 children who today ate underneath a tin roof and a dirt floor. And yet we have the audacity to complain because we don't have things that other people have. God help us to realize that he's given us so many physical blessings. May I just remind you that your home is full of gadgets to make your life easier. I have personally been there. Pastor Jonathan has personally been there. We have seen this children's orphanage. We have footage of this children's orphanage. May I just share with you, they have never seen a microwave oven. They've never even heard the name microwave oven. You know why? Because there's not electricity where they live. Do you realize that they have never seen a couch? What? They've never seen a couch. And every one of you, you'll get in your easy chair this afternoon and you'll push that hand or push a button and you'll go back and you will snore gloriously this afternoon as you're taking a nap in your easy chair. And there's 96 orphans in Myanmar. They've never even seen a couch. They have benches. We've seen them. They have bunk beds. Not a single mattress in 96 bunk beds. Not a single mattress. And yet, we complain. Sometimes perspective is a great teacher, but we have so many good gifts from God. Well, thirdly, quickly, I need to hurry along. Not only are there spiritual blessings, not only do we have physical blessings of which we need to be reminded of, but you know that we have some societal blessings? Societal blessings. What do I mean by that? We live in the most prosperous nation on earth. We live in relative freedom. We can worship this morning to our own understanding of Scripture and the dictates of our own conscience. We're not beaten. We're not imprisoned. We're not put to death for our faith. There are so many blessings in our country. We are truly blessed to live in the United States of America. Do you know that people are dying to come to this country? They want to come to this country because we live in the greatest country in the world. And now with all those blessings and many, many more, we would think that God's people, the church people, above all people, would be the most thankful people on earth, right? Wouldn't that be a logical assumption? But that's not always the case. If you've been to church any length of time, you've met your fair share of negative Christians. They seem to live to whine, gripe, complain about everything. Let's face it, perhaps we've all partaken in this sin from time to time. Listen to what David said in Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. David could have griped. He could have complained that he was the forgotten red-headed little brother who got nothing. He could have complained about how King Saul chased him all over the country, repeatedly tried to kill him. He could have whined about his own son Absalom, dethroned him and fought against him. Yet David says this, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, be thankful. God led Israel from slavery in Egypt. Do you remember the story? He parted the Red Sea waters. He gave them food from heaven. He caused their clothes to never wear out. Now, ladies, I know that would be very hard on you to wear the same outfit for 40 years. Because some of you will change your outfit from this morning's service to tonight's service. But for 40 years, he never allowed their sandals in their clothes to wear out. He protected them from the harsh Sinai desert with a huge cloud during the day, and then at the nighttime a pillar of fire. Yet they still would not obey. They would not enter into the promised land in faith. Instead, you know what the Israelites did? They used that big C word. They complained. God said to Moses in Numbers chapter 14, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto me, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Wow. Do you realize? Think about that story. Everyone who was over the age of 20 complained, and they died never seeing the promised land. I'm thankful that God's a God of grace and he does not do that in this generation. Because our church would be a lot smaller, perhaps me included. Complain. Later in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, we're reminded, the Bible says, murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. I've shared this story several years ago. I shared this story, but it bodes well here at this time. Everyone talks about complaining. We've heard the story about the monk who went into a monastery. He took that vow of silence for 10 years. Excuse me. So when the first decade was done, he asked if he had anything to say. And he said this, food, bad. Another 10 years went by and he was permitted to speak. And they asked if he had anything to say. And he said, bed, hard. And after the third decade, 30 years, he said this, I quit. To which the supervisor of the monastery said, well, you might as well quit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here. I fear there's a lot of Christians like that. That's our testimony. We complain. We don't see all the blessings. But let me say there's some brokenness when it comes to giving thanks. And we get into the meat of the message very quickly here, the brokenness of giving thanks. Just as we are to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, the Bible says we're to give thanks always. But how do I do that? First of all, gratitude is expressed in how we speak or how we talk to each other. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Christians, we should be careful of the words that come out of our mouth. That they're not foolish, coarse, cursing, or complaining. When we talk to each other, our speech should not be worldly, but be a speech that's full of gratefulness. Secondly, here we see gratitude is expressed in how we pray. Instead of coming to God and asking, demanding, maybe we should begin our prayers with thanks. Father, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my fellowship. Thank you for my future. Thank you for my faith. And maybe those are things that we should thank the Lord before we ever ask him for anything. Now, the barriers are giving thanks. Let me take just about 10 minutes here, and then I'll be finished, to give you several barriers for giving thanks. As I study this, as I research this, there are some hindrances of why we truly do not give thanks. And one of these, or two of these, may apply to you. And may God stir up your nest and help you with this. Why don't we give thanks? Two-word command, give thanks. Why do we have such a difficulty obeying this? Well, first of all, barrier number one is an unredeemed soul. An unredeemed soul. We know that there are seated among us this morning, that watching via live stream all across this world, there are people who could be watching who have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's difficult to give thanks the way God says to give thanks if you've never been redeemed. We've already seen that Romans 1:21 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 speak of unbelievers as unthankful. They do not thank God because they do not believe that he's really the source of all good things. And if you've never been thankful, if you have difficulty giving thanks, may I just implore you, examine your heart. Go to the spiritual doctor, God himself, and examine your heart. Are you in the faith? Are you in the spiritual family? You may have never truly been saved, and you do not understand this message if you have an unredeemed soul. Number two, doubts. A barrier to us giving thanks is that we're full of doubts. When I say doubts, I mean doubts about God's sovereignty. I mean the fact that God controls everything. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes." Acts 15 and verse 18 says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." In other words, we are thankful because we know that even when bad things happen, they are within the permissive will of God, and that he can use even evil to bring about good. But oftentimes we doubt when things don't go our way. Now listen, a lot of times we Christians, because of our cushy lifestyle, when we get a broken nail, we get angry at God. When we have a flat tire, oh no, the world's coming to an end. That's not the kind of doubts I'm talking about. But sometimes we have doubts when something seeps into our marriage. And we have doubts when things don't go exactly as planned at work. We have doubts when one of our family members simply has not trusted Christ yet. And doubts creep in unawares. And those doubts give way to, there's no way I could give thanks to God. Another barrier number three is ignorance. Ignorance. Some people are not thankful to God simply because they're ignorant of his blessing. They haven't stopped to think about the message this morning about how awesome God is. They've not spent time studying the scripture. They do not understand what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And therefore, there's a general ignorance that I haven't stopped. That's okay. Today's your new day. Please don't be ignorant any longer after today. Let's be thankful for his many blessings. And let's acknowledge that when we talk to him. Barrier number four gets all of us from time to time. Pride. Pride. We are a proudful people. Have you ever heard the term self-made man? It refers to someone who pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Some are not thankful because they mistakenly believe that they've accomplished something on their own apart from God. And sure, you've worked hard and you've given maximum effort and maybe you've made some good decisions. However, who gave you the intelligence to learn and grow and make those decisions? Who gave you the health and abilities to do that work? God did. Do you remember There's a parable that Jesus told about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He was described as a smug, proud farmer with a bumper crops and big barns. And his stupidity was forgetting all about God. And he thought that he was responsible for that. In the book of Daniel, we meet a proud King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible even says he became a beast, unrecognizable because his pride lifted him up. Acts chapter 12, verse 23 says of King Herod that the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And then I just can't get this picture out of my mind. He was eaten by worms and died in front of the people. How horrible that must have been. Do you realize what his sin was? Pride. Pride. Pride is a great destroyer of marriages. Pride is a great destroyer of relationships. Pride is a great destroyer in churches. Folks, this will destroy you, and you cannot possibly give thanks if you're lifted up in pride. Another barrier is what I'll refer to as anger or disappointment. Anger or disappointment. Some people are angry with God because they're disappointed in how their lives have turned. They're unhappy in their circumstances. They had higher expectations and they thought things would turn out differently. And now they're disappointed or they're angry with God. They feel God has given them the shaft. May I ask you this morning this one direct question. What do we deserve? We deserve nothing. We deserve separation from God. We deserve a place called hell. The fact that we can believe in Jesus Christ and we can secure an eternal home in a place called heaven is the greatest blessing in all the world. Anything else is awesome, but at the very basis foundation, we should never complain once I've been saved. Never. There are people that are angry with God. God owes us nothing. He gives us everything out of a heart of divine mercy. And to be angry or disappointed with God's gift is to presume upon his grace. And we walk around feeling like he owes us something. Please get it in your mind. Please get it in your soul. God owes us nothing. But when I have salvation, I should give thanks. And anything greater than salvation is, as they say, a cherry on top of the sundae. It's something that, wow, amazing, but we should never complain. But we're so often influenced by the things of the world that it causes us to spiral down to be just like the world. Barrier number six is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Now, this is similar to pride, but it's the obvious mark of immaturity. Self-centeredness says this: I deserve this. I deserve more than this. The self-centered person is always speaking of I, me, 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 myself, myself, myself. And if you're not grateful for what you have, why should God give you more? If you can't handle what you currently have, why would God ever give you more? If you're not grateful for the things that you currently have, why would God send more blessings your way? Isn't that a logical question? But sometimes we're so self-centered that we only talk about I. That it is a barrier to giving thanks. Barrier number seven is pursuit of pleasure. Pursuit of pleasure. The world is rabid in its pursuit of pleasure. And many Christians, sadly, we get caught up in the flow. We have so much, but we want more. Enough is never enough. We always want more. We want newer cars and bigger houses and better toys when our lives are already full of gadgets that don't satisfy us. Did you notice what I just said? We already have so many gadgets and they don't currently satisfy us, but we still want more. We want bigger toys and more expensive toys, but we're not satisfied with what we have now. That pursuit of pleasure, how can we give thanks? Someone said it this way, we spend money we don't have to buy stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like. We don't stop to thank God for what we have because we're too busy lusting, coveting after something more. With God as my witness, I am so thankful that God has blessed people in our church. And I've never been jealous, envious, or covetous when someone else has more than I do. You know what I say? they must be able to handle it, and God richly blesses them, and I'm so thankful for that. That ought to be the attitude of all of us, is that when God gives blessings to someone else, that we don't bemoan that, gripe, complain, well, why doesn't God ever bless me? Be thankful for what you have now. One of our church members got a new car, and about a month ago, they said, they were so excited about their car, and I said, it is beautiful. That is an amazing car, and they said, no, go sit in it, and I said, I can't sit in it, and they said, no, go sit in it, and I said, no, I might be guilty of being covetous, and I sat in it, and it's nice for them, but you know what? I even told them, I'm so thankful that God's blessed you this way. Because I know you turn around and you used all the blessings God has given you to turn around and bless people in our own church. You know, this particular family I'm talking about, they can't outgive God. The more they give, the more they help, the more God blesses them. I was talking to one of our own church members, using real-life examples. I was talking to one of our own church members, and he was telling me about his business and how God was blessing his business and how the door opened up for him to buy a restaurant. I thought, how does that happen? How do you just always have so much money that God can just keeps you keep getting more? But you know the truth is, I know the backstory, and the more this person gives, the more God blesses them. It's an amazing concept. You cannot outgive God. It's not possible. Try it. Amen. All right, we got one amen. Now, what happened to all those people who said amen at the beginning of the message? I lost all of you. The thing is that we have such a thirst and pursuit of pleasure that we do not give back to the Lord. And I could go through, as I see several people here this morning, I could use your story. I know for a fact that you give. In fact, do you know this is so amazing? Last Sunday, I showed you the picture of the children's orphanage. And I have a burden for those children because really those people that are overseeing the children's orphanage, that are teaching them about the things of God, they're training a whole generation, 90-plus children who are going to now be missionaries and pastors and preachers and pastors' wives throughout the country of Myanmar. That's amazing. The future of Myanmar is going to rest in orphanages where people are going to train them to love the Lord. I shared that last Sunday, and another family in our church says, you know what? We're going to give you the money to finish that kitchen. And they did. They gave me the check to do that. Isn't that amazing? But I look at that family, and you know what? It's not like this is the first time they've done this. So many times that I have mentioned from this pulpit that there's a need, they have given. And the more they give, guess what? The more they have. It's amazing how that happens. But some of us, we're holding on to that $100. God, if you'd give me $1,000, I'd give more. But I'm not giving any more because this $100 bill. Our pursuit of pleasure is a barrier to giving thanks. Barrier number 8 is a critical spirit. Barrier number 8 is a critical spirit. Some people have very high standards and very little pleases them. Instead of seeing the good, they look for the faults. Because they have unrealistic expectations of themselves, others, and life itself. Because they always see the negative, they rarely notice the abundant blessings of God's showers of blessings on them every day. So let me ask you, are you a thankful person? Is continual gratitude a characteristic of your life? Do you practice perpetual gratitude? Do you obey this verse? It simply says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. It does not say when there's good times. It does not even say when there's bad times. It does not say if you feel like it. It does not say if you don't feel like it. The Word of God, under the penmanship of the Apostle Paul, he wrote, in everything, give thanks. Pastor, I have cancer. Be like Etheline. Where's Miss Etheline? Is she here this morning? Miss Etheline, would you please stand? Where's Miss Etheline? I don't mean to embarrass you. Forgive me if I'm embarrassing you. But Miss Etheline's body's racked with cancer. And you know what she does every week? She writes cards of encouragement to other people. Every week. I have a dozen to two dozen cards that that lady has written saying that she's praying for me. She's thankful for her pastor, and her body is racked with cancer, and she could go home to heaven any day, and she lives Thanksgiving. Amen. Let's thank her for that wonderful testimony. Thank you so much. And please, I apologize publicly if I embarrassed you in any way, but I'm so thankful for that testimony that you have. Let me ask you some probing questions and I'm finished. If the people who know you best were asked to put you in one category or the other, would they say that you're a grumbler or you're grateful? Would you answer that question? Are you a grumbler or are you grateful? In normal conversations, do you spend more time speaking of how God has blessed you? Or do you talk about how you don't have, you wish you had more, and you're talking about the things that are lacking, and if you just had this, you'd be happy? Or do you talk about God's blessings? Do you talk about God's blessings or the things that are missing? Have you paused today to thank God for his blessings? Is it a habit? I encourage you. Take those words that begin with the letter F and you say, I don't know where to start. Lord, as I wake up this day, I thank you so very much for my family. Start there. You say, you don't know my family. Pray for your family. Give thanks for your family and see what God does. Father, I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to go to church today. And I want to thank you for my friends. Christian friends should be the greatest friends in the world. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship. And then you can throw in, I'm thankful for my faith or salvation. I'm thankful for my future. I have a home. Lord, thank you that if I die this day, I'm going to a better place. And it's called a place called heaven. Take those five words. Thank the Lord. Start there. Start there. Start somewhere. Make it a habit that is just so natural it flows out of your mouth. And then see what God's going to do in your life. John Templeton, he was a billionaire investor. He said this of wealth. If you are not grateful, you are not rich, no matter how much you have. If you are not grateful, you are not rich, no matter how much you have. I say if you are grateful, you're rich no matter how little you have. Some of us this morning, I hit you right in the forehead, like David hit Goliath. You know that one of these eight barriers describes you. And you know that it's very difficult for you to give thanks. Because you're basing your thankfulness on your circumstances, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the great, amazing attention that everyone has given this morning. Forgive us if we haven't been thankful. Help us to be thankful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, do you give thanks? It's going to be a long month of five Sundays if we're not willing to give thanks. When's the last time you gave thanks in your prayer to the Lord? When's the last time you gave thanks to someone in your family? When's the last time you gave thanks to someone in church? And if you haven't and you're hard-pressed to think about it, it's time to obey God's word and say, God, forgive me for an ungrateful, critical, complaining spirit, whatever would just best describe you. And Father in heaven, help me to be a person of thanksgiving. Oh, we have some great things planned in the coming weeks in our series, but this is the foundation. We don't even need to go to week two if we're not willing to work on this message right now. So in the quietness of where you are seated, would you talk to the Lord? Ask him to forgive you for having an ungrateful spirit, but then also give thanks for some things. Try it. Give thanks for the things that you have. Give thanks for the people that are in your life. Give thanks for salvation. Give thanks right now. I'm going to ask Pastor Jason if he'll just sing quietly. And as he sings, every one of us Let's talk to the Lord right now.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son. Drink the bitter cup reserved for me. Washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
You may look this way. Thank you for your great, amazing attention today. I truly believe, as your pastor, you were looking forward to being in church today. You sang like it. You participated like it. And I'm so thankful for your great attention, even during the preaching of God's word. Now, let's take just a moment. And we have a video announcement for you. So it would take just a minute. Let's see what's happening right here at our church.
Good morning, and once again, thank you for joining us today here at Tucson Baptist Church. We pray that this service has been a blessing to you. We would like to take a moment and share some exciting events that are up and coming here at our church.
During the month of October, we focused on providing items that a local pregnancy center can give to moms in our community. We were blown away by the generosity of our church. Last month, we collected over 5,000 diapers, 230 packs of wipes, and hundreds of toiletry items for both babies and their moms. The best part about last month is that it provided an opportunity for our church to use their talents and gifts in making things for these moms. We had well over 100 baby blankets that were handmade by members of our church. This is exactly why we began Project 520. We want to use our gifts and talents in meeting the needs of those in our community. During the month of November, our focus turns to educators and educator appreciation. Teachers all across this country had to learn basically overnight how to teach online. We want to come alongside and encourage these teachers at local elementary, middle, and high schools in our area. During the week of November 16th through the 20th, we are planning on delivering gift baskets to our schools to show our appreciation. Then, on Sunday, November 22nd, we are going to dedicate a portion of our service to recognizing teachers that go to our church and that are in our community. During this service, each teacher in attendance will receive a handmade item from our Heartfelt Hands Ministry, as well as a gift of appreciation for all that they do. If you are a teacher in our church, please send an email to info@tucsonbaptist.com. We would like to bless your school with a gift basket during this month.
We are thankful for the many men and women in our church that served in the military. Next Sunday, November 8th, we look forward to recognizing you and honoring you. Pastor Armstrong has a gift for all of the veterans. We will take time during our service next Sunday to honor and thank each of you.
One of the most important ministries that we have at our church is our discipleship ministry. This ministry focuses on digging deeper into the Word of God to grow in your faith. In discipleship, you will meet one-on-one with another man or lady, and each week you will go through lessons that are designed to provide information and answer questions that you may have about the Word of God. We are thankful that over the past 2 years, over 100 people have completed discipleship. If you are interested, please email Justin at TucsonBaptist.com. We would love to partner you with someone to take you through this vital ministry.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. If you are visiting, thank you for being our VIP. Make sure to stop by the VIP room to receive your free gift right after the service. Also, this evening at 5 p.m., we will have our growth groups and evening Bible study. We hope that you will join us as we continue to grow deeper in our love for God.
Today's the day we ask you to return your faith promise cards, and so that you would, if you're a member or regular attender, it is so important for us to know whether we can take on missionaries or if we're forced to drop missionaries because of your decision. We've already had all of these cards turned in, and so if you would take your card and put it in the offering drop box on the way out, so very important. If you need one of these cards, you can see the ushers. They have those on the way out, and they can give you a card if you forgot your card. So very, very important. Dig those out of your Bibles from last week when we distributed those. Put those in the offering drop box. That way we'll be able to make a well-informed decision about faith promise. And thank you to all those who have already returned their cards. How exciting this is for a church that loves missions. And so you are playing a vital role in that. Now tonight, we had a visitor who was here last week, and he didn't come back on Sunday night. He goes, oh, I thought it was the same service. We have a completely different service at 5 o'clock, and so we have growth groups and a service right here in the auditorium. We encourage you to be back tonight. All right, let's all stand together. I'm going to ask Stephen Chansley if he'll come to the platform. He's going to close us in a word of prayer, and thankful for Stephen. Loves our bus ministry for many, many years. Has been one of our bus drivers, currently serves as one of our deacons, and we're so thankful for him. My wife and I will be in the lobby by the globe, and if we can help you in any way, we would love to. You, Pastor and Mrs. Howard will be here on the north entrance or exit, and so we're so thankful for you. Please stop and see us. If we can help you in any manner, we would love to. After the prayer, you're dismissed. We'll see you at 5 o'clock tonight. Thank you, Stephen.